G'day guys, it's Grazy here, just leading you into the debut podcast. Been about 2 years in the making to getting around to issue number one. I'm a very lazy person, so that's not all that surprising. And Brocky D, we're going to be here to talk hoops. We love our hoops. Don't take anything we say to heart. We do it with a bit of fun, a bit of tongue-in-cheek. If you ever hear a gambling reference on here, just delete it, because it's not going to be good advice and it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you're spot on, and thanks for the shout-out there, Graham.
Anytime.
Fans of Russell Westbrook, please beware. No offence to the big fella, but he cops it a little bit in this podcast.
He deserves it.
Also, please don't get your expectations too high. It may be 2 years in the making, but it is not 2 years' worth of quality, so please take it easy.
No, correct. It's not quality nor quantity here. Bobby Portis, if you're watching, I'm a fan. Brocky D, he's not so much. He reckons he could take you. He says he'll stare you down any day, but I am a big fan. Any sponsors out there, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. I can take money, donations, food, clothing, or any items of NBA equipment. Hope you enjoy the first episode.
Thanks, guys.
G'day, guys. Grazy here with the debut episode of the Grazy Podcast, and I am joined by my co-host, Brocky D.
Brocky D here, guys. Fired up to be here. Keen to talk some analysis with you all.
That is excellent, Brocky. How did you get into hoops? What gets you fired up about talking hoops?
I got into hoops in 2007. I went to EB Games and saw Shaquille O'Neal grace the cover of NBA 2K7 and then started a long love affair with hoops.
Who do you follow?
New York Knicks.
Good on you. There's three of you. That makes three of you.
Yeah, there's three all up. You can count all the fans on one hand at the moment, but I'm looking forward to the future. I'm pretty optimistic at this point.
And you play a bit of hoops?
I play a bit of hoops. I'm a bit of a legend down at Division 3 Mooner Basketball. And
pretty good. Well, I got into hoops. Well, in 2007, I think I was 48 years old and I'd already played 22 Ks. I got into hoops when I was in grade 7 because a kid at school had a packet of NBA basketball cards that he got from his dad. And I looked at him and I thought, I like them a lot. And I told my mum, I'm into NBA now. She says, what is that? I said, I don't know, but they've got a lot of good cards about them. I said, I want them. She said, where do you get the cards from? I said, I don't know, but I want them. I jumped onto the Warriors because I thought that was a bandwagon team. They had Tim Hardaway, Sprewell, Chris Mullin, Chris Webber. By the time I'd gone for them, though, Chris Webber was already gone. Tim Hardaway blew his knee out. Chris Mullin was an alcoholic. And Sprewell had choked a coach, so that was a good one.
Yeah, good.
20 years later, though, they've come good. So now I get labelled as a bandwagon fan now that things have gone good, so you can never really win.
And that's exactly what I thought you were the first time I saw you in a Steph Curry jersey in 2016. I looked at you and thought, this idiot could not name the first name of Curry. Little did I know. Legitimate fan, and I did have to go back on my word, and I'll pay you that. You have been a fan for quite some time, so heads up to you.
Good. You've just got to stick with something for 20 years, something you'll very soon find out sticking with them Knicks. Okay, so most of the big names have been signed or traded and are with their new teams or re-upped with their old ones. Who do you think were the best and the worst of the signings over summer?
I reckon I'll start with a negative one here. And that will be Nemanja Bjelica. I apologise if I've butchered that name, which I likely have. It's not so much the player itself. I think he's a good role player for what he is. But for 3 years, $20 million, I think it's a pretty strong overpay, especially given the depth of power forward and centre that the Sacramento Kings have.
That is a bit of a weird one because they've drafted Bagley. They've got Willie Cauley-Stein. They've got some young bigs.
They've still got Harry Giles, who I still think could be quite good.
He's like pick 20.
Yep. They've got Z-Bo, and he could be all right in a few years.
We haven't seen the best of him yet. I think we're in for a breakout year and a most improved for Z-Bo. Yeah, that's a good one. I think this one is a bit of a tough one. Will Barton's four-year, $54 million one. That's a tough one for me.
It's on my list as well.
I thought he was a bit of an overpay at 4 years. I think you can get a Will Barton type for a little bit less than that when you've already got Jamal Murray and Gary Harris on that team.
You've got Isaiah Thomas now.
Yeah, that was a bit of a tough one for me. Anyone else who have you got as another bad one? Give me another. I love bad. We love negativity around here.
A lot of negativity over here.
Good.
I think this one just stunned me because it was signed in the first two or three days of free agency. And this is someone who I've watched a lot of over the last year, that being Dougie McBuckets.
Oh, I nearly had Dougie.
At $7.3 million per for 3 years. I think he's a good shooter, obviously, and that's what his forte is. But is he worth $7.3 million? Can you not get another role player for $2 million that does the same thing?
I think Joe Harris got less than that, or Ersan, or there's a Swaggy P out there unsigned who you could probably get for $2 million.
Correct.
I think that's what he did with the what did he get with the Warriors? Was he $5
million? I think he got the five.
He was the mid-level five. But there are guys who can shoot threes that you can get.
And I think it's an okay backup plan, but to be in the first two or three days of free agency and make that signing when you don't have a whole lot of cap room, I just don't quite get the
I'm not sure the competition, I'm not sure how many people were yapping at Dougie McBucket's heels either.
They've outbid themselves there, I think.
This one here is a strange one. It could pay off, but based on what this guy has done, I can't sign Dante Exum for 3 years at $33 million. Big Dante's missed more games than he's played. He has some questions over his position, how he shoots, pretty much every aspect of his game,
yep,
other than being a good defender. But I'm not paying a tall, skinny point guard $33 million over 3 years. Even though I think he could be good, that could be one of those deals that actually goes okay in the long run, but I couldn't sign off on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a good young prospect, but I think $33 million over 3 years is too much for him. I don't think he's proved enough at this stage, and obviously quite injury prone already. So,
okay. We'll go one more bad one each.
Okay, the Charlotte Hornets. They're not building towards a whole lot at the moment. I think they've been in purgatory with Kemba Walker for quite
probably,
some time.
Probably want a nice young point guard. Yeah. Someone with a goose about him, I reckon.
They've signed the 35-year-old Tony Parker.
Ah, good. I also have Tony on mine. That is a rock-solid deal, that one.
And it's not for the veterans minimum.
No.
And he's not for 1 year either. They've given the big fella 2 years at $10 mil.
Yeah, well, you want to see what he can do. Like, he hasn't got a proven track record or anything like that. So, yeah, lock him in for 2 years.
He's one of those players that's really adapted with that three-point shot still sitting at 29%, like it has for the last 16 years of his career.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I've got Tony on there as well. That stunned me. That was one of the big shocks of the season.
I really don't think he's that much of a good locker room presence either, after a few scandals.
And he also had a bit of a run-in with Kawhi, and he was one of the more outspoken ones there. Yeah, that's okay.
You've got to watch him around the partners too.
Big Tony. Yeah, I don't know about this one. And I've got a double here. I've got two from one team. Rajon Rondo, I don't mind the money. That's not too bad at $9 mil. That's okay, but you've got Lonzo there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you really want to stall his development. Yeah, it's good to have a veteran that he can learn from, but he's also got LeBron James there. I would have thought you'd just put him out on the court and actually see what he can do, because he looked all right last year, and I don't see what Rajon Rondo brings to that squad, to be perfectly honest. And his teammate KCP. A small chunk of change at $12 million for a guy who's pretty much below league average at most things. Occasionally he'll bang a couple of threes and a solid defender. I think he can get better value than KCP at $12 million when you think of the depth the Lakers have and the young players already.
Completely agree. I think he's probably past the point of still banking on potential with him. I think he's, 26 or so now?
Yep.
Maybe a little bit younger, but I don't know. I think he's proven what he is already, and that is, like you said, a fairly streaky three-point shooter. Fairly good defense. I think he takes probably a little bit too much shots. I've watched a few Laker games where he's shunned teammates and pulled up from 35 feet.
Assists isn't his go.
Yeah.
He's not a strong assist guy.
I don't think he's too great on the boards either. So he can give you 12 or 13 points, but for $12 million a year, I think the only saving grace of that is that it is only the 1 year deal and they have flexibility for next year. But I can't see many other teams giving him $12 million, so I think that's an overpay. I agree.
Nice. Do you have any more on that bad one? Do we clear out the bads? Do we knock them all over? Do you have any others on there that you think?
I have two quick ones, and I'll breeze through them pretty quickly. I couldn't tell you how much this 1 year deal is, so I can't get into it too much. But Michael Carter-Williams, if you're paying him, that's an overpay.
Yeah.
I think last year's go around at Charlotte, he's shooting high 20s or low 30s from the field. Doesn't do a whole lot in terms of shooting. or passing or defending. He's an okay defender. He's quite long, but I don't really want the ball in Michael Carter-Williams' hands, especially at the Rockets. I just don't see that as worth doing.
No, he's never really stuck anywhere. He's bounced around a couple of teams quickly. Philly gave up on him very quickly for such a high pick. He hasn't stuck anywhere else he's gone or shown too much. I'll go for another double banger. Another team that I signed to. These are two good players, don't get me wrong. But I don't want to be in year four of Chris Paul paying him $40 million a season. Mm-hmm. 33, coming off a year in which he didn't play in your most pivotal games due to injuries. 33, and that's an old 33 to me, because he's played a hell of a lot of minutes for a hell of a long time. Clint Capella at 5 years, $90 million. Oh, he had a great year, but I think he was just a product of that system. He can get some dunks. I think he can get some cheaper options than that. With a combination of Nerlens Noel, JaVale McGee, at probably a third of the price per season on a one-year deal, I don't like being locked into 5 years for a guy like that who can't really shoot the ball. And I think he's a bit of a one-trick pony. That's all the bad ones. We'll move on to the good signings now. Okay, I'll start off with the good signings. I don't think you can go wrong with $2 million for Greg Monroe. I'm probably the only Greg Monroe fan left on planet Earth. At one stage, there was just a genuine discussion. Greg Monroe or Andre Drummond. And I was probably leaning more towards Greg Monroe at the time because I thought he was a more rounded player. But for $2 million, I don't think you can go wrong with that.
I think I'm with you. I think I was in the Greg Monroe side as well, but I was also on the Monte Ellis over Steph Curry side, so doesn't mean a whole lot for me, but I think $2 million, it's a fair amount of money, and it's not a bad deal by any stretch.
Yeah, at the time I was all Monte. I thought that was a brilliant deal, and look how that turned out. I sucked into them for not listening to me. Who have you got? Who do you think was a good one? Who spent some good money?
I don't have many. I didn't love a lot of the signings this year, but I think Isaiah Thomas,
that's a good one.
Just a smidge over $2 million a year. That team, they don't have a closer. I think Joker is your best player. He's obviously a good player, but you can't just give him the ball in the last 3 minutes of a game and say, get me a bucket. Mm-hmm. I think he's similar to Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, but I think he's got that killer edge, and they called him King of the Fourth for a reason. I'm not actually a huge fan of him, but I think that contract's quite good, and it's a one-year deal at the end of the day. If it doesn't work out, sort him off.
I know he's had injuries, but that's 2 years after averaging pretty much 30 points a game and being the leading scorer in the league in the fourth quarter for $2 million. That is literally a no-risk, high-impact result.
Fall from grace, that is for sure.
That one there. I was a big fan of Julius Randle's 2 years at $18
million. Yep.
I think Julius is a hell of a player. I'm not sure he's landed on the perfect team for him next to Anthony Davis and Mirotic. It'll be interesting to see how they blend them in. But 2 years, I think players got signed for a lot more but aren't as good as him. I think he improved a lot last year. I was surprised that the Lakers didn't really have any interest in keeping him around from what it seems. So 2 years, $18 million, I'd sign off on that any day.
Yep, as would I. And I think if the Lakers can pay Kentavious Caldwell-Pope $12 million, I don't know why you don't take a flyer on Julius for 2 years, 18. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. You got anyone else there?
Brooke Lopez for $2 million.
Yeah, big Brooke.
I think it's a pretty good fit on that team. Their center's John Henson, and John Henson, besides having the worst face in the NBA, the most punchable face in the NBA.
He'll appear in a couple of segments from this podcast history. Don't worry about that, Big John.
I think it's a big upgrade. Brook, he is what he is. He's going to get you 15 points. He's going to shoot some threes. He's not going to get you 10 rebounds. He's going to get you 4 or 5. But he is a good shot blocker, and I think he's a pretty good guy too.
Yeah, he seems like a good fella. Stretches the floor a little bit. Opens up a little bit for Giannis, because if you don't go to him, he can knock down shots.
He can.
He can get hot with the best of them too. Just don't bet on him or he'll absolutely kill you. I'm probably the only one on earth, but I liked Ed Davis going for Nets for 4.4.
Damian Lillard did not.
No, Dame, he did not want him there. He wanted him back on that team, and he seemed like a bit of a good glue guy as well, and quite a few people seemed to be a little bit distraught that he was gone. He's never really had that great year, but he's long, he can get you some rebounds, he can get you some blocks. He's not going to set the world on fire, but for 4.4, I think you get yourself a very good role player.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I think he's a good, solid young player, and it's not an overpay by any stretch.
Yep, any other good ones? Do you think there's anything else that got their bang for their buck?
Oh, we can't go through this list without saying DeMarcus Cousins for $5 million to your Golden State Warriors, yeah, I don't think.
That's a good one. That was a bit of a sneaky pickup.
I think it was the perfect move for him. He didn't have many options, and this $5 million, he's got enough money to survive, that's for sure. It's literally a 1-year deal. The Warriors can't pay more than $8 million next year, so he'll go there, get his ring, get some experience with some of the best staff in the NBA, and then go on to bigger and better things. So I can't blame him for doing it. I would have done the same thing.
He'll be working out every day with the best shooters in the world.
Yep.
He's already got experience with them from Team USA a few years ago. I think they've got the right mix of laid-back guys and fiery with Draymond, who he's clashed with in the past, but they get along with well. So, yeah, that was very good. I've got a 2-for-1 here. The LA Lakers, I think, did pretty well signing Lance Stephenson. I thought was a pretty solid pickup for them. And he did bring his friend along, LeBron James. So I thought it was a pretty good pickup.
2-for-1.
If LeBron was paid $100 million for this season, he'd still be on that list as a good signing.
Correct.
He's in pretty much the biggest basketball market in the world, and he's the biggest brand already in the world. So that pays for itself. So I couldn't leave LeBron off that list. I think that's pretty solid.
I'm with you, that's for sure. I think I've got three more, but I'll start with the two. Couple of young players that they've been given a lot of money, but I think both of the contracts can be traded on if it doesn't work out with that particular team. First one being Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
At 4 years, $80 million. Obviously, it's not a great team at Orlando, and I think they didn't have much of a choice but to re-sign him.
Yep.
Because it's not a big free agent destination, but he's shown the flashes last year. He started to put it together a little bit. In the first month or two, he was scorching hot from deep. It faded out pretty quick, but I think 4 years, $80 million, even if he doesn't perform in the first year or two, I still think there's teams that's going to be happy to trade for that because he's got the potential.
I have no doubt he doesn't see out the 4 years in Orlando.
Pretty confident, that's for sure.
I'd think even coming up to this very first All-Star break, if there's a contender on the verge, you probably just need that second or third guy. I think if Aaron Gordon's the best player on your team, I think you're in trouble.
That's for sure.
But he's talented, and I think that's a good value.
I can't see many teams in that position to try and get an Aaron Gordon by All-Star break, though. I don't know. It's a lot of money to pay.
Yep. No, he's it'd be an interesting one to see how he plays out.
My second one is Jabari. What are your men?
Oh, big Jabari. I don't have him on my list.
So he's 2 years, $40 million. The second year is a team option.
Yep.
So they're paying 1 year, 20, see how he goes. It's a low-risk, high-reward again. He obviously last year didn't go to plan with a lot of injuries and probably clashing with Giannis a little bit, but I still think he's got a lot of potential, someone that can score with the best of him when he's on. He's just a year removed from scoring 20 points a game as a second or third option. And at the end of the day, if he's not good enough, that's $20 million down the drain, but you weren't doing a whole lot this year anyway for Chicago, so I like the signing.
I love the signing. The Bulls don't have money tied up anyway.
Mm.
So $20 million for them isn't pushing them over the limit. There's no tax on this. It's just a straight-up $20 million. He's from Chicago. I think that's a very good signing, and I think he's actually a pretty good fit for that team too. I think he can play off pretty well.
Not a lot of defense on that team, but I don't think they're too concerned at this point.
They're not worried about
one day
defense
at a time.
They're not worried. You've got Robin Lopez back there. You just defend all the plays. Well, Robin will take care of that. I've gone with a former very high draft pick who's got signed for very little money, big Jahlil Okafor. Is this Jahlil's last chance in the NBA? I think he's got a point to prove. I think if he doesn't make it here, he could be in Europe by next season. I think he might find something on that Pelicans team. They do get good things out of big players. Boogie went there and played really well. Anthony Davis is a superstar.
I don't know. I could have nearly given up on him last year.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen that 10-second film clip of him not playing defense back in Philadelphia, and that's left a sour taste in my mouth. But
yeah.
I think the skill is obviously there. I just question his drive a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's got all of the talent in the world, but he just really needs to step on the gas a little bit, I think.
As a rookie, I've seen a 10-second clip of him too in Boston. Arguing with a fan outside, which, fan interaction was, 10 out of 10.
He can throw one, so I apologise if you're listening.
Yeah, that's why I thought he looks a little bit crazy too, so we'll put him on the list. Do you have one more?
I do have one more, and I guess this ties back into your Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at $12 million being an overpay. Tyreek Evans at $12 million, I think that's a good price.
Yep.
I think the Pacers might have liked to have locked him up for a little bit longer. coming off a really, really solid year with the Grizzlies.
Close to 25-5.
Yeah, 25-5.
Which he's done a couple of times.
And his three's up to nearly 40% now, which...
Just a tick under, yeah.
Really was a weakness at the beginning of his career. I think he's a good, solid player, a good guard next to Oladipo. I think that Pacers team can go pretty far in the East.
Yep, very deep, very deep. My last one, and I think was the best signing of the season, even by the Warriors standards, was Kevin Durant. Two years with the Warriors, two championships, two finals MVPs, and he takes a pay cut to come back to your team. That is a masterclass in GMing, and to pull that off, yeah, the rich get richer. That is, to me, the easiest deal of the year. Okay, now we're going to move on to our Rookie of the Year predictions. I'll just go through a couple of players who we think will probably feature highly or we're looking forward to seeing. And then we'll come up with our winner at the end and maybe one sleeper pick as well. I'll go first. I'm going to take a flyer on the unknown number one pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton. People don't know a lot about him, so he didn't have much coverage on ESPN for the last 12 months. Just a lazy 7'1", 260 pounder, so that's a grown man. He looks like he's about 35 already. What do I know about him? He's crazy at 2K. He quite often jumps onto the park and will challenge anybody. And there's quite a few videos of him smashing controllers, and he takes that deadly serious. On the court, the big fella was logging 33 and a half minutes in college, which is a lot for a big man who can quite often get stuck in foul trouble. Field goal percentage at 61. Threes at 34%. Didn't know he had such a good range about him. Three throws at 73%, which is good for the big fella. 20 points a game, 11.5 rebounds, a tick under two blocks. Compares himself to Hakeem Olajuwon for his footwork and the tenacity of Kevin Garnett. So basically, he might be the greatest center the game has ever seen.
Sounds like it.
Do you know much about DeAndre?
Oh, I don't have a huge understanding of DeAndre. I haven't watched much college games. It's not really my scene, but I don't know. I watched him a little bit in summer league, and I don't know. I always thought the number one pick should have been Luka, but he's going to get a lot of minutes at Phoenix, and I think that's a good situation for him, so he'll definitely get some Rookie of the Year buzz.
I think sometimes summer league's a tough one for the big fellas. I think it's more of a run and gun. I think it's more of your wing and guard type situation. ESPN analyst Jay Williams compared him to David Robinson with a splash of Anthony Davis. So, pretty good praise. I'm just looking forward to seeing him play. And I think he'll be right there in a discussion on that young Suns team. Who do you have? Who's your first guy?
My first pick is Colin Sexton. Pretty good stats in college at 19 points, 4 assists and 3 boards per game. His shooting needs some work. He shoots threes at 33% and his free throws at 78%, which isn't great for your point guard. But I think the NBA, it's all about storylines. I think that's why Russell Westbrook won that MVP the year after Kevin Durant left. And I think the Rookie of the Year writes its story for itself with LeBron James leaving and the new star coming into town. We've already seen this story before, and it's Kyrie Irving winning the Rookie of the Year. So I think the storyline, like I said, the storyline writes itself. I think Colin's going to have a lot of the ball with that team. He's got Kevin Love, who doesn't demand a whole lot of the ball, really. He's played third fiddle for God knows how long, so I think he's going to get a lot of shots. I don't expect him to be shooting anywhere near 49% in the NBA, but I see him at maybe a 16, 17 points per game, a lot of highlights. He'll be on SportsCenter a lot with his wicked dunks, and yeah, I see him getting some Rookie of the Year buzz for sure.
He'll also be up there for Irritant of the Year.
He'll
be one of the meme highlights of the year. He's definitely got a bit of swag and a bit of cockiness about him, which I think works for the NBA.
It does.
But I don't want him recruiting. His first recruiting bit of LeBron didn't go so well. Hey, LeBron, I'm here. Let's do this. And LeBron said, let's go to Los Angeles instead. I'll leave you with it, Colin.
I also don't rate him too highly unless he cuts that bloody rat's tail that he has. It's disgusting. Do not go much on it.
He's put some work into that. But he had a good segue there. Kyrie Irving winning Rookie of the Year out of Duke, which is where Wendell Carter's from with the Bulls. They took him at pick 7, 6'10", 259 pounds. Definitely bigger than what I thought when I watched a bit of video of the big boy. Another guy who can shoot the ball pretty well, less than 30 minutes a game, but that's a bit of a product of the environment there at Duke. They don't run their players into the ground. They normally have pretty good depth and rotate through pretty strongly. So he played 27 minutes a game, 56% from the field, bangs threes at 41%, actually one of the nation's leading three-point shooters, which I didn't know.
Gee whiz.
73% from the free throw line, 13.5 points, 9 rebounds, just over 2 blocks. I think he gets minutes on the ball squad. I think good young front court of him, Jabari, and the finisher. So I think that's a pretty good pick, and I'm looking forward to seeing him go. Joining the ball, similar to Elton Brand did in 2000 when he came from Duke as well. Do you know much about Big Wendell?
I would have been very happy if my Knicks did select him. I was pretty high on him at the draft. I think he's a... Obviously, he played with Marvin Bagley at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't the number one option, but they're still really good numbers. And that three-point shot, it's the future of the league. And he looks quite athletic, someone who can probably switch on to some of the guards at points too. I think he's a good pick.
I think he took over a bit. I think Bagley got injured and he became the number one option, and his numbers went through the roof because he wasn't doing that well at the start of the year because he was one of the pre-season really high picks. He faded a little bit early, but when he got to take over, he was the man. Who else you got? Who's your next?
Trae Young. I think, obviously, the Atlanta Hawks are very high on him, taking Luka and then sending him straight off to Dallas. I think with that 27.4 points and 8.7 assists last year, they're magnificent numbers. Obviously, cooled off a little bit towards the end of the season, but the numbers he's putting up were ridiculous. And shoots three is a little bit lower than you might expect percentage-wise at 36%, but when you watch him play, you can understand why. His shot selection is not great at this point, and I don't expect him to be shooting a high percentage next year, but in that Atlanta Hawks team, there's not a lot of firepower. He's not going to have a whole lot to pass to, so he's going to take a whole lot of shots, and I see him averaging between 15 and 20.
His college stats are a bit hard to read, because I think a few teams really clamped down on him. I think he had a couple of games where he might have had double-figure turnovers where people just say, that's it, we don't care what happens, we're just going to lock him down and double-teamed him pretty much relentlessly. And for a guy who's 180 pounds, that's a bit tough to deal with.
He's not going to be a whiz in the defensive end, that's for sure. You look at Steph Curry and someone who cops a lot of flack as a poor defender, and he's a lot stronger than Trae Young is at this point, so I think he's going to be targeted a lot, and I reckon he'll get his welcome to the NBA moment pretty quick.
Pretty sure in the Big 12 he broke the record for most points ever by a freshman with a tie of Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley, so he's got a pretty good pedigree there.
He does.
I've got Jaren Jackson Jr. as my next one, pick 4. I've gone with all the big boys and you've taken the smaller fellas. I've gone with Big Jaren at 6'11 and 242 out of Michigan State, 3.2 blocks, doesn't get a lot of rebounds at 5.8 rebounds a game for such a big fella. But big issue for this fella was foul trouble. Only logging 22 minutes a game, he'd quite often pick up 3 or 4 in a couple of minutes, trying to block every shot. He's very keen. Probably his weakness, a little bit like Jordan Bell, leaving his feet thinking that he can block every shot.
Jordan Bell syndrome, I think he has.
But at 6'11", he shoots threes at just under 40%. So it's unusual for us to see a guy who can hit threes at 40% at that height, can block that many shots but not getting rebounds. I think that comes along the way with him. I think he's a very similar sort of attitude to Draymond Green. He's a little bit fiery. He likes the defensive side and takes pride. I think he'll be good to look at on that Grizzlies team. I think he could get a lot of minutes on that squad because I don't see a lot of guys in that front court taking minutes away from him. Know much about him?
I think he's in a good spot. I think he's in a similar spot to what Jason Tatum was last year. The Grizzlies are going to be competitive. They've got 3 or 4 good, solid players, and I think they're going to compete for maybe that 8th spot in the West. I don't think they're in a rebuilding stage, and if he can log big minutes for a good team, it's going to go a long way with Rookie of the Year voting, that's for sure. And I think he was genuinely happy when he got drafted by the Grizzlies. I remember his interview and he was over the moon.
Had a hell of a lot of enthusiasm about it, didn't he?
You got a fan here. I think that's good to see. I like that kind of stuff. I'm a big fan of his already.
Yeah, he'll do well in the Rookie of the Year, but Luka Doncic wins the Rookie of the Year and I think he wins it by a landslide. Pick 3, the Hawks had him and they thought, no, we're going to flip him for Trae Young. I think that's a decision that could get looked at for many, many years to come. It may work out well for both teams. I hope it does. But I think Dallas fleeced them in this deal. 6'7", 215 pounds for a guy who's been playing against men for, 4 to 5 years already. He's pretty much played NBA seasons. I don't really consider him to actually be a rookie. I consider it similar to when Japanese players come over in the baseball and they've got 10 years of experience playing in big leagues. Unbelievable combination of passing, shooting. I think he'll be on the SportsCenter top 10s most nights. I don't think that Dallas team's all that bad either. I think they're rebuilding pretty damn quickly. Compares himself to Ben Simmons. He gets a lot of comparisons, but that's the one he makes of himself. He's dismantled people at every Youth World Championship he's gone with. Backcourt mates of Goran Dragic in the World Championships, playing for Slovenia. And his mum is hot, so I think he becomes an absolute megastar. And I think he wants it. I think he's been a star all his life. And I think you can see that in him. And I think he will carry on from Dirk as their next foreign superstar. What do you think about Big Luka?
Yeah, you couldn't pick a better veteran to help him out. I think Dirk's going to definitely take him under his wing. And you're right, that five of Dallas of Dennis Smith Jr.,
it's Barnes,
Harrison Barnes, Doncic,
and DeAndre Jordan
at $88 million a year. I think it's a good five, and I think it's a team that, again, is in that same or similar position to what Jason Tatum was last year. A good team, obviously going to log some big minutes. I think he's the pick too.
You have him there. He's your pick.
He's my pick, but I do want to highlight my man Kevin Knox.
Yeah, Kevin. He's just missed out on my top three.
Yeah, I watched him very closely in the summer league. I think he's got everything. He's only very young. The Knicks were very interested in him and Mikal Bridges. Mm. I think the main argument at the end of the day came down to Mikal Bridges is 22. And is Kevin Knox going to be better than Mikal Bridges when he's 22? Absolutely, I think, is the answer to that question. I was happy with the pick. I think he's long. He fits the modern NBA. Great shooter. I think he's going to develop into a good defender. I think he seems like a pretty solid guy. He knows what he needs to improve. He's mentioned in interviews that he really needs to improve his handle, and I think he's fairly self-aware of what he needs to do. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he'll go close. Again, he's not my pick, but I'm a big fan.
I think he's quite self-aware that the Knicks aren't a great team.
He is.
In quite a bit of banter between him and the other players. He's big on social media with, like, we're in this together and we're going to build this thing. There's no talk of, like, we're championship material straight away. I think he knows where they are. And for a kid of, what, 19?
Yeah, he's quite mature.
He's got a bit of a build of, like, a Giannis already. He looks probably 22. And if I had the option of taking him at age 19 healthy, or Michael Porter Jr., who I think is a year, maybe closer to 2 years older, with a stuffed back and could sit out two seasons, I think that's a steal of a pick. I think that's
a very good
pick.
I do like Kevin too, because I follow him on Instagram. And he likes women's photos very often.
He does. Who's the Philly guy? Markel Fultz. Fultz has got competition on Instagram for likes. He smashes that like button.
If there's a pair in front of him, he's going to double-tap that photo,
He does. Yeah, good work, Kevin. Hopefully he gets enough time on the court and doesn't do a back injury himself. My smoky for the season is Lonnie Walker. Lonnie stands out mainly because he can't put a hat on his head at the draft.
He got memed.
He's an exciting player. I think he's landed on the right team. I think that Spurs system, there's minutes opened now with Danny Green and Kawhi gone. DeMar DeRozan comes in. I think he learned from really hard workers left on that team. They've still got some veterans around. I think he's a good pickup. Pop has a way of young players who are drafted slightly who have been passed upon. And he's turned them all into winners, and he's going into a great system. So I think he'll put up some good numbers, and he could surprise the people in year one. And who is your obvious pick for the Smoky?
I'll touch on that in a moment, but just back to the Spurs. I was thinking the other day, I can't think of a Spurs player who's been traded and then gotten better.
No.
So what I mean is, obviously, Victor Oladipo, his first few years of his career, you could see he had it, but he wasn't in the right situation. He wasn't being used to his full potential, and last year he had that chance and was amazing, but I honestly cannot think of a Spurs player who hasn't been used to the full length of their ability. I think if Davis Bertans was in Charlotte when he was drafted, I think he'd be playing in Europe right now, but he's logging pretty solid minutes for San Antonio, so I agree. He's in a very, very good spot for himself.
Agreed. I think he landed on the right team. So who is your Smokey? Who is he?
Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, what a shock. Two Knicks, what a shock.
He's got good height at 7'1", super athletic. He's only 225 pounds, so he does have a fairly lean frame, quite ripped, but I would like to see some more bulk to that body. Didn't play in college. Bit of a scandal, which I won't get too far into, but his draft stock definitely fell by not going to college. Mm-hmm. He was a projected lottery pick the year prior. But some of his high school stats, 34.5 points, 13.5 rebounds, and 7.8 blocks, if you don't mind. So he loves a block shot. Again, does have a little bit of Jordan Bell syndrome. He does jump quite a lot. I think he's going to be up there with the top handful of rookies. I think he could make an all-rookie second team, if not first. Mm-hmm. I'm very high on him. He really impressed me in Summer League. He can really get up, and again, everyone has workout videos, and you see every single center shooting threes, but I've seen a few workout videos of him popping some shots up, and he looks okay. I think that can be a part of his game.
Physically, pretty much on par with Mo Bamba. They're almost identical. Yep. At 7'1", 225. One of them had a huge amount of hype going in because he could shoot some threes. If you look at Mo's stats, he's actually quite a terrible three-point shooter.
Yes.
So at that value, that lays, that's a no-brainer pick for them. Zero risk, high reward. He might learn to come along with Kevin Knox on a rebuilding next team, and they might have some good chemistry. They seem like they banter pretty well already.
Yeah, they've played a few games together already at the All-American game, I think. I think my favourite part about Mitchell Robinson, and again, he's a great player, but I just love that it came at the expense of the Oklahoma City Thunder, because that second round pick was a throw in that Carmelo Anthony deal. So
thanks,
thank you
Carmelo.
To OKC, and then again, thank you to Melo.
Oh, good on you, that's good. But Luka Doncic wins this in a landslide. Okay, thanks for our sponsor Nike there. That was very appreciative of the money they've put into a debut podcast. That's almost unheard of. 7-year contract. Fantastic. This segment's over-unders, and we're looking at your division, the Knicks division, which they've been down the bottom of looking up for quite some time. We'll go through the teams and have a win total and see if we agree. First up, Boston Celtics. What have you got? What's the target?
So we'll count down from three, and we're going to say at the same time over-under.
Okay, what's the score? What are we looking at for the wins?
We're looking at 58.5.
Okay.
And we'll count down from three.
Okay.
We'll yell it out. Three, two, one.
Under.
There we go.
Under.
Great minds.
Yeah,
what do you think under?
I wonder where you get the shots for Gordon Hayward. I wonder with a fit Kyrie back in there, with Jason Tatum expected to take over and be the alpha male on the team, when you're bringing in a guy who's earning 10 times the money, I think they're an interesting mix. They're deep as hell. Their second five could beat teams in the NBA legitimately. But at that depth, where do all the shots come from? Brad Stevens is a good coach. I think they're a tick overrated. At 58.9, you need a lot to go right to get there. The Raptors pretty much didn't have an injury last year, and they led the league at 59 wins. So, yeah, and they've got a very good home court advantage. So why did you go under?
Yeah, I certainly agree. I think there's a lot of players doing the same kind of thing. I think their key need last year was a rebounder and a shot blocker, and they didn't really get it. I think you have to account Kyrie to miss 20 or so games like he seems to do every year. I think Gordon, obviously I wish no harm upon him, but he's probably going to be managed quite... his games were managed in the first season, so I don't know. I think they're a good team, and absolutely they're going to hit the 50 win mark, but I think 59 is a smidge high, even in the weaker Eastern Conference.
One X factor I had for the Celtics was Robert Williams. Seems a bit of a loose cannon. He's actually had to rent an apartment right next door to the training facility because there's big questions over whether he can get anywhere on time. But he could address the need of a rebounder because he is huge. He's a savage rebounder and shot blocker. And I fear that if he is everything he can be, that Celtics team could go well over the 59 and
they could
dismantle the Eastern Conference.
Well, I would not bet my life on it, but I'll stick with under.
I think they're a safe bet under too. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers. What have you got?
53.5.
Okay.
Countdown 3, 2, 1.
Over.
Bang.
Oh, over. Well, I was certain you'd go under on the Sixers. Okay, why? Where does it come from for the Sixers? Who do you like?
Their starting five's elite. I think it's one of the best starting fives in the NBA, probably save your Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got length at every position, outside of JJ Redick, but they've got length, they've got a lot of defense in that team. I think Ben Simmons is going to take another step forward. He might hit a three-pointer this year, you never know.
I hope he does.
We've got Joel Embiid. Again, you don't want to bank on him playing more than 60-odd games. But 60 games of Joel Embiid is still good enough for a win most nights.
Yep. I think they've got a sneaky good pickup in Wilson Chandler. I think he can come off the bench. I thought they had some good tough guys come off the bench last year, but they couldn't really put the ball in the basket. You've seen that when the Celtics closed off Ben in the playoffs. My man Robert Covington pretty much vanished. They figured him out and shut him down in the corner. Dario Saric, I think, really stood up last year and probably showed he was worth that high of a pick. I think he was a little bit slept on, maybe not as rated as highly. I think Ben Simmons definitely gets into that All-Star game this year.
Yeah, confirmed.
And my X Factor is Markelle Fultz. People have already forgotten about Markelle. I think he's already off the radar. He's 2021 now. What if he is as good? We've seen him get the youngest player ever to get a triple-double. If he's good, I think that team can very easily take the Eastern Conference, and I think they could play the Celtics. And if they click, I think they could give them a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think with Markelle, I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops. He does say a few dumb things, though. I watched an interview where he has to guess how many teams are in the NBA. It took him about 4 or 5 guesses. He had 24, 26, 36, and 32 before he settled on 30. And
in his defence, he hasn't seen them all yet. He hasn't played against... Correct. He only played a handful of games.
And, hopefully he backed himself for MVP last year, so hopefully he gets a few more games under the belt this year.
That's right. Thonmaker's going to win multiple MVPs. Correct. And Defensive Players of the Year.
According to Thonmaker, yes.
And if Thon can keep his knees to himself, maybe one day he'll actually get on the court. You get on your Thon. Your New York Knicks with Fizz taking over. What's the projection here?
29.5.
Okay.
Counting down 3, 2, 1.
Under.
Oh.
Okay, tell me why your New York Knicks.
I think Fizz is one of the top 5 coaches in the NBA. The players seem to absolutely love him.
Yep.
Went all the way over to Latvia to meet with Kristaps when he was jumping off boats and hanging out with supermodels.
Yeah. Good on you, Kristaps.
And you can't blame him for going over there, can you?
No, good on you.
But I think he's really going to get the best out of his players. We've got, all jokes aside, I think the Knicks do have a good young core. We do have a good few veterans on the team if they do stay there. I think Courtney Lee probably is gone by the beginning of next season, but Lance Thomas is a good veteran, hard worker and a good guy.
The new Draymond.
The new Draymond, according to Fizz, yeah.
Okay, yep.
We've got, who am I thinking of?
You've got Kevin Knox there.
We do have Kevin Knox. We've got Tim Hardaway, who I think really, this season's really, really big for him. Last year, I almost thought he could have made the All-Star game at the beginning of the season. His play didn't reflect that, but I think this year is the number one option for most of the year, depending on how Kristaps progresses. I think I'd really like to see him at 20-plus per game.
Yeah, well, he's earning about, what, 20-plus million per year for that, so I think he's a massive disappointment. You've got my man Moutier. I think you do have a bit of depth, but I'm just not sure. Mario Hezonja might be an okay signing.
I think
he's the sort of guy that Fizz will look at and go, yep, I can get something out of you. I fear when they call a timeout and they have to go to the bench. I think with the Knicks players, there's a lot of question marks. Does Kristaps come back? If the Knicks get off to a slow start, what's his motivation to come back? I know there's money on the board. There's a max contract, but why are the Knicks bring him back? I don't think you bring him back when the team's 5-21. I don't know what they do with him.
It is a good excuse for the Knicks because Kristaps publicly stated he wants to play to win. And I think this year it gives the Knicks a good excuse to take it easy with Kristaps, have one more year of not being that great, and get another good draft pick, which goes completely against my over.
Mm.
But I do think that it's a solid team, and the Eastern Conference is, as we know, pretty abysmal. So 30 wins, it's not that hard, is it?
I don't know. There's too many question marks to me. Mitchell Robinson might be good, a bit of an X factor. Could be. Frankie Smokes, he could be a very good defender. I don't know.
He is a very good defender.
Emmanuel Moutier, Enes Kanter's defense. Kristaps coming back.
We've got Ronnie Baker.
Ronnie Baker. If Ronnie Baker gets out there, this team could push 60 wins. They'll lead the league in pre-game rituals. Ronnie's got that swing move that he had with Big Mello there. Ron Baker's mastered the art of doing nothing but sit on a bench and do it well. But I think it's another tough year for the Knicks, but I do think they're on the right track. I think next year they're well and truly an over, and I think they move into that 6-8 range in the playoffs probably next season.
Next season, when we have Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, Kristaps Porzingis.
They could still stuff it up.
Correct.
With another knee injury.
I cannot argue that.
Jimmy Butler punched out by Dwayne Wade, and Kevin Durant just given up on life after 3 championships. That's a good one. I like that. That's a good one. The Brooklyn Nets. What is the market on the Brooklyn Nets? What do people think of the Nets? What do they come up with?
32.5.
Oh, God.
And they do have their own draft pick this year for the first time in what feels
since
like...
you've been born.
Yeah, since
1936 in the NBA, yeah. They had a draft.
Correct.
Pick and they traded it for Paul Pierce.
Okay, counting down from 3, 2, 1.
Under. Oh, under. And,
actually, no, I'm under. I'm looking at I'm under.
I was going to say.
I'm under. I apologise.
When Alan Crabb is one of your highest paid players and you've locked him in as a starter, I don't know who you're kidding yourself if you think they're going to beat them. Yep. Damari Carroll, Jared Allen's all right. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's improved the last few years. D'Angelo Russell, what is he at this point? When he's on the court, he can look good. He can look quite lazy at times. He can get hot with the best of them. I don't know. I don't know about this side. They remind me a little bit of early 2000s Warriors, where you have a player at one position, but then suddenly the guy you get next plays the same position. The Warriors had Larry Hughes, so they drafted Jason Richardson. Their best player is D'Angelo Russell, and they got Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench, conceivably, according to ESPN's depth chart. I don't know about this team at all. I just see a cast of names that... On good teams, how many minutes would they get?
Yeah, I can't really see too many of those names getting minutes on a playoff team. I think I'm a bit salty with the Nets. I'm not going to lie, after Spencer Dinwiddie's comments on Twitter saying that the Knicks aren't even the best team in New York, which I well and truly think they are. This team...
It's tight, isn't it, between them two juggernauts?
Yeah, two powerhouses of the league. But in all seriousness, they do have Jared Dudley, who should provide some good minutes.
The athleticism of Jared and his conditioning should rub off on the other players. And I think, well, if Jared can do it, any of us can. I didn't mind them re-signing Joe Harris. I thought he was going to be a handy player on a good team, but he decided
to stay. He stayed, that's for sure.
Kenneth Threed, he's finally out of Denver. I feel like he's been in the league since the merger with the ABA in the 70s. He was good about 5 years ago and has just slowly deteriorated. I don't think he's added anything to his game in those years. I'm just wondering if a change of scenery does Kenneth good.
Yeah.
Can he get anything?
With those Nets, I'll pose a question to you. What if you're building a team, would you rather Spencer or do you still bank on the potential of D'Angelo Russell? Because I think Spencer is the better player.
I think I'd take Spencer at this point. D'Angelo's also helped ruin a locker where he was pretty much considered a bit of a virus and was not wanted around for leaking a few videos.
Shout out Swaggy P.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of arrogance about him too for a guy who hasn't really done it. So he hasn't really got one season to his name that you can look at and go, yep, you can build a team around D'Angelo Russell. And the last team, the team that was the number one last year in the entire NBA, the Toronto Raptors. They rewarded their head coach with Coach of the Year by getting the sack. Isn't that a great reward? Coach of the Year, 59 wins, but you got beat by LeBron, so you've got the sack. Blew the roster up a bit with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, rewarded DeMar DeRozan with being traded.
Thanks for the loyalty, DeMar. You've been a hell of a citizen up
here. Catch
you
later.
Yeah, gone. We told you the day before, you are safe, my friend. Where do they go? What's the over-under on these lads?
54.5.
Ooh, okay.
Counting down from 3, 2, 1.
Under. You're in, okay.
Boy.
I see where we're going to differ on this one. You're banking on Kawhi Leonard in 9 games last year where he looked like a shell of himself, sat on the bench and sulked when he did show up, refused to give any medical details as to why he was injured and not playing, pretty much sulked and threatened that he was not going to play for the Spurs. I'm just not sure where his mindset's at. To me, he's a big concern. When you take away a rock-solid guy like DeMar, who you know what you're going to get, you're bringing in a guy, to me, I know how good he can be, but 9 games, that's a long time ago in NBA world. It moves pretty quickly. What do you think he does?
It is. I'm expecting, obviously, a bounce-back year from Kawhi. I think I'm pretty high on him at the moment after that photo of him training with LeBron and Kevin Durant came out. Did you see the size of his hands?
Yeah, no, they're not of the human species, those hands.
That's given him 4 or 5 extra wins in my book. But I think that 5, provided Kawhi plays, and reports lately are saying that he is open to staying at Toronto, I've read. Whether there is any truth to that or not remains to be seen. But that's starting 5 of Kyle, Danny Green, who's a really underrated throw-in of that trade, Kawhi, 55-year-old Serge Ibaka.
Yep, allegedly. Allegedly.
And Jonas Valanciunas. I think that's a pretty solid five. And I think that that first three, all very good defenders. I think if you do get Kawhi, even 75% of what he was, that's a top 10 player in the league.
They've got some solid players on that bench too. OG, I don't think he stays on the bench for too long. I think he surpasses Danny Green in that lineup probably pretty quickly. I know Raptor fans are very big on him. Pascal Siakam, Greg Monroe for a bit of depth. Your man, Fred Van Vliet.
Freddie Van Vliet.
Norm Powell. Highlights being on the Bleacher Report's Game of Zones.
And he got a big contract.
And they kept him instead of the Terrence Ross, so that was a big deal. My concern, Serge Ibaka and Jonas, I'm not sure they can defend a cardboard cutout between them. I'd like to see a few more rebounds out of Serge at 6.3 for a guy that big and strong. I think their big boys are what let them down. I don't like them going against the Celtics with Big Baines and Horford. I don't like them going against the Sixers with Joel Embiid. I don't know how they're going to go against some of the bigger teams in the Western Conference, even though they have to play them a couple of times. I think it's a tight market, and it pretty much hinges on Kawhi about over-under.
It is a tight market, but I think winning 59 last year, the East has gone considerably weaker, and provided Kawhi does play, he's a head and shoulders better player than DeMar DeRozan, if he does get back to that level, which he was 2 years ago. I think 55, winning 59 last year in that very weak Eastern Conference, I'm going to go over.
Okay. I'll probably have the Pacers as the team that maybe overtake them. But we'll save that one for another day. But we do know one thing, the Knicks finish last. Okay, we're back. Going to go a little bit of rapid fire. We're going to go shot for shot here. We've got five questions lined up for each other. We'll probably mumble and stuff up these answers, but bear with us. We are new to this. Okay, do you want to go first? Fire away.
Is there any team in the Eastern Conference LeBron couldn't take to the playoffs?
I'm not sure he can get the Nets. The Nets would be the one. I think would be his big challenge. I think him and Kimba, it's probably enough to maybe sneak him over for Charlotte. I'm just trying to think of the really bad teams.
Can you take Atlanta?
Trae Young, you'd open up some space for his threes.
Bays.
John Collins.
I think you'd take
Jeezy, Atlanta. They might get in the conference final. Christ, he's LeBron James. Yes, he can take any team anywhere. He can take your Moon of Division 4s to the second round of the East this year. Yes, he can. Okay, most likely player in the NBA right now to be in the NBL, the Australian League, by the end of the season.
You have thrown me under the spotlight here.
From the NBA, the biggest league in the world, to Australia. Who do you think's on the verge of just being kicked out of the league? Who's on his last chance, you think?
I think he's been mentioned a couple of times in this podcast, which you could almost put as a highlight for him, Michael Carter-Williams. Yep. I'm still not confident, not too sure how he's on the on an NBA roster.
I'd have accepted Jahlil Okafor. I'd have accepted your man, Brandon Jennings. I think Mario Chalmers isn't far away from being in the NBL.
Mario Chalmers on the Melbourne Tigers as we speak. So
Okay, far away. What have you got?
Someone who had potential, who everyone else seems to have given up on, but you have not. You still hold out hope for this one player.
I still think they can do something.
Correct.
Well, I stuck by Anthony Randolph about 10 years ago when the Warriors drafted him, and he was a teammate of Luka Doncic.
I once
said that Anthony Randolph was the best player in the NBA under the age of 25 at the time, and I said that for the next 4 years that he was still under 25 until he was on your sexy Knicks, and then he was playing in Spain and playing quite badly. I think he's a 3-4 option on that squad, so I've got to stick with Anthony Randolph. He's my answer.
Fair.
Do you have one? You think can still?
I think Justice Winslow. I think
my man.
Yeah, your man.
He's terrible because he stinks.
I think OG Anunoby, who, like you said, Raptors fans love him. I think they're fairly similar. I think he plays a bit of defense. He gets a few boards. He likes that shot developed, but I still haven't given up on him. He's still pretty young. Okay. Come to the Knicks.
Yeah, well, he'll end up on the Knicks if he has a bad career. So
yeah, correct.
Or if he blows out a knee. Does LeBron James win an NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think he does.
Yeah.
I don't think it's this year.
Okay.
I think it's next year when he's joined by Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, I think the same. It's not this year, but this is not the final form for this Lakers. So.
Correct. I think all the one-year deals are certainly amounting to something, that's for sure. I think Kawhi's the target, and I'm pretty confident he'll be there next year.
Okay. Far away.
The year is 2043.
Okay, so I'm 106.
You're well and truly past your life form.
Okay.
2043, someone in this era, so someone playing basketball, NBA right now,
yep,
has the record for the longest career. So they've played for the most seasons all up. Are you with me?
I am. Okay. So
it's
someone playing
2043 and it's someone playing now. And they've broken the record for most seasons played in the NBA.
Okay.
They've played a game, so it can't be a rookie from this class.
Okay.
Who's the answer?
The answer to this question is LeBron James. LeBron James has mentioned a few times wanting to play with his son. LeBron also isn't a human, so I'm not sure he counts for this segment. LeBron has shown no signs of aging to 33. Spends over $1 million a season on his conditioning. I've never seen LeBron look anything other than perfect since the day he got to the NBA. This guy hasn't had an ankle sprain. He hasn't had anything that basketball players... He hasn't had a foot injury. He just looks after himself, takes recovery very seriously. He might play a few seasons with his son. I think LeBron breaks that record handily.
Yeah, look, the records are 21 seasons.
Robert Parrish.
Held by a number of players. I think Kevin Garnett got there too. I think Dirk's fairly close.
Well, Dirk could be entering 2021 this year.
Yeah, I think LeBron's a good call. I'd love to say Steph Curry, if it was based on skill alone, because I think he could play until he's 55 years old, but the injuries put me off. That ankle has obviously been a big problem for him, so I think LeBron's a pretty solid answer.
A guy who's never really indicated he wants to play for a long time, but I could see Kevin Durant shooting over people into his 50s as well.
I think the recipe for a good, healthy, long career is a shot. And that's how Jason Kidd, in his last 2 or 3 years, he developed that elite three-point shot.
Kept him relevant.
He's in the top 10 of three-pointers made, which you wouldn't have picked. But, yeah, I think that three-point shot helps.
Okay. Is Los Angeles LeBron's last team in the NBA?
No, it is not.
Where does he go?
Wherever Bronny James goes.
Okay.
So he signed 4 years with the Lakers. He's a free agent the year Bronny gets drafted.
Okay.
And I think just about any team in the league, LeBron will follow because he'll have 1 or 2 years with his son.
I see the Warriors recruiting that pick and bringing in Bronny James, and the Warriors go on an absolute dynasty. I like it. What have you got for me?
Your breakdown player, so the opposite of breakout, who takes the biggest step backwards this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. I wonder how much better Giannis can get. Giannis put up some pretty monster numbers last year. That's a pretty damn good team that he's on. I wonder if the ball needs to go to a few other players for them to truly break through the hump. I think maybe Giannis. He's still great. He's still great.
He is great. Is he overrated? I think he's a little bit overrated.
He hasn't had much competition on that team for touches. He's a very angry unit too.
He is. I've seen a few clips.
Yeah, like that assistant coach.
Yeah.
He hasn't actually been seen for a while, so I don't know what happened to him.
He's in Giannis's basement. But I think that team, everyone says every year they're the team to watch out for, but he hasn't really taken them anywhere. He doesn't have a whole lot of help.
Yeah.
Middleton's quite good, but... Yeah.
Has he made anyone better?
I don't think he has, no.
I don't think he has either.
My breakdown player would be... I can't see Dirk doing too much more for too long, can he? I know this is going exactly against what I just said, but he's one of those players that has a shot that doesn't disappear, but he's so slow. I just can't see him playing many minutes. He's had a great career, and no disrespect, but... If he's on the court, you're going at him 100 times out of 100.
Controversial call. was last year something to do with John Wall. Has John Wall played his best season in the NBA, or has he got another gear? I don't think he's...
Judging from recent photos, he's going to be out of the league in 2 years.
John Wall's... I think that whole Wizards team, I think, is on the verge of either being very good or being blown to absolute smithereens quickly.
I don't think anyone's taken that contract of John Wall. I do not like it.
Yeah, okay. Do Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook play on the same NBA team again before they're both finished?
I don't think so. I think Russell is a player that's... I think he's quite interested in the media. He's quite interested about his appearance and the public's opinion of him. I think as much as he would have disliked Kevin Durant leaving, I think he really would have liked being embraced as Oklahoma City's own.
Yep.
Because he always played that second fiddle when Kevin was there. I just don't think he has the... I don't know the right word to describe it. I don't think he can go back and play with Kevin Durant after all of the stuff that he's pulled. I just can't see him swallowing his pride is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I can't see him going back and playing with KD.
That's fair. I wouldn't rule it out. I think one day do they go, you know what, I'm sick of the Warriors. I'm sick of being in Oklahoma. You know what, maybe we go and join LeBron in Los Angeles and we stuff the Warriors up.
I'd like to see it, that's for sure.
That's my one glimmer of hope. People all say Kawhi's coming. We also thought Paul George was coming to this Lakers team. Russ is from that area. Kevin Durant's pretty big in his media career as well, and he's really good mates with LeBron. I don't rule anything out in the NBA now, so that is possible.
You can never rule anything out.
That is possible. It would be a massive story, though.
That would.
What do you got for me?
Player with the most swag.
Player with the most swag, I think, is my man, Stephen Curry. I think Steph hits those threes, and I think he loves himself. I don't think he's ever taken a shot, but he legitimately doesn't think. I think he's earned it, and he's backed it up. I think it's Stephen Curry. He takes a shot from anywhere, always has. Bad performance. If he's missed 10 shots in a row, he's 100% confident that 11's going in, and he'll still do a bit of a shimmy after that and celebrate. So I think Steph, who do you think's got the most swag?
I think it's a bit of a two-part question, so I might throw it back to you. I think he's up there with the most swag on the court.
Yep.
Off the court, you're not going to see Steph Curry on a fashion magazine by any chance.
Swag off the court. So, okay.
So it's a two-parter. Yeah, I'll accept your first answer, but if you're saying him for most swag off the court,
he's pretty bland. He's pretty bland off the court. Oh, most swag off of it. Does it need to be someone who actually justifies this?
It does not.
Because Russell Westbrook's got quite a bit of swag off the court.
Oh, you're throwing disses to Russell.
Yeah. Overall, for on the court and off court, my combination would be James Harden. Yeah. James Harden's cool as hell. Everything he wears looks good on him. He can wear chains out, chest out, doesn't matter. He's built a pretty good rig for himself. And I think he's pretty comfortable in his own skin. So probably overall, I'd go with James Harden.
I think mine for on the court, Steph Curry's a good answer. I think this is going to be a pretty boring pick, but I think LeBron has a hell of a lot of swagger when he's on the court. His three chest pumps and his legs up and down, that celebration gets me going. I think he, he's the best player in the world and has been for a long time. And, you know, if you're watching him, you're watching greatness. So on the court, it's LeBron. Off the court, I think James Harden's a good call. I probably could have said that if you didn't. I'll go with two players. So Kelly Oubre.
Yeah.
Doesn't back it up on the court.
Nah.
But
he looks good while he's doing not a lot, though.
Yeah. God, he's a good looking man.
Very smooth looking
man. Could be a model. And I liked when he pushed Kelly Olynyk over. That was one of my highlights of the playoffs that
year. Yeah, I like that.
And my other player is J.R. Smith. Unbelievable shoe collection. I think PJ Tucker could also be thrown in this segment too.
Swag.
But J.R. Smith, he's got a Supreme tattoo on his leg.
That looks stupid.
I like it.
That looks stupid.
He was on sneaker shopping the other night, and you can just tell the man, he dresses well, amazing shoe taste, and you know, he's just the man.
Yeah, Joe Ingles didn't get a mention in this for swag on or off the court. Bad luck, Joe. Does James Harden win an NBA championship?
I think he does. I think, as great as James Harden is, I think he needs someone equally as great on his team. I think the MVP, very rarely is it actually the best player that wins MVP. LeBron's been the best player for the last 3 or 4 years. I think he's in that tier below LeBron. I think LeBron, Steph, KD are probably the three that three superstars of the league. And I think the way the league is these days, you need one of those elite tier players, and he's probably just below. So unless he can get another elite player next to him, who I don't think's Chris Paul, I can't see him winning a championship with this team. But I think at one point later on in his career, he'll get there.
Okay, I've gone with no. Game 6, Game 7 against the Warriors with a chance to go to the NBA Finals. At no point in those games did I think he's going to take this game over. I thought at any point the Warriors are going to shut him down. I don't think he's the guy for the big shot in that moment. I found he's had a couple of games with massive amounts of turnovers. I don't think he's there. He's probably in that second tier. Now, he's like an absolute A-graders of the guys who you fear. But if he may accept a role, I think he could be the ultimate six man maybe later in his career. Yeah. Just come on and ISO and give you some. So you never know where he ends up, but I'd go with no.
I think in that game 7 against Golden State this year, he had 32 points. But watching that game, he seemed a little bit passive at times, I think. And obviously the year before against the Spurs, that last game, he just absolutely vanished. We haven't seen that vintage James Harden performance in the playoffs yet, and I'm starting to get a little bit hesitant as to whether it is going to come or not.
Okay, fire away, what do you got?
That's everything, I think.
You got them all, that's all your lists. Wiley flicks through that list very loudly. I say, do the New York Knicks make the conference finals in the next 3 seasons?
I think they do.
Okay, well, that's incorrect answer. There's no wrong answers here, but that one's absolute nonsense.
The Knicks
will play one playoff series where they're swept in next year. No, I think they can. I think they will.
I think Kristaps will be re-signed.
They're going to land someone. There's help coming.
There certainly is help coming. In the form of Kyrie and Jimmy Butler at this point.
Okay.
There's been a lot of talk that they've wanted to play together for a while, and why wouldn't you?
I listened to all talk and no talk in the NBA, because I'd have bet any money that Paul George was on this year's Lakers team, but he's not there, and there's a lot of players happy where they are until they aren't. Giannis has said, I can only see myself playing for Milwaukee, and that's fine until the day you go, you know what, these first round exits are enough and I'm gone. So
Kevin Durant was asked at one of his basketball camps one day by a little kid, are you going to play in OKC forever? Yeah, man, I'm in. And here we are.
Yeah, good on you, Kevin.
So he didn't keep that promise, but
Kevin got wise and got out of there. Yeah,
you can never say never, that's for sure.
Good stuff. Well, that was rapid fire. Unless you've got another one. Have you found one? Have you?
I might flick one more at you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Actually, I'll flick two more at you.
Oh, good. I'm an old man.
Double header.
Yep.
Number one role player you would like on your team. So the Golden State Warriors.
Okay. You know him. He's my man from Dallas. Dwight Powell. Dwight comes on, gets rebounds, which for that Warriors team they need. At times, that's one area where they can get monstered. And you've got Draymond at centre. Teams like Big Jokic and the big boys can probably push them around a little bit. I know they've got Boogie now. But for just a role player who comes on and does his job, he's not going to cause you any fuss. You don't have to run any plays for him. He gets his points off offensive rebounds. And a guy who can get offensive rebounds on that Warriors team, that's a value there, even without scoring. Who would you have?
It's a good question, I think.
You asked it, so hopefully it's a good question.
Toot my own horn there. I'd love to see, and this might not be the best for the team, but I'd love to see Dwayne Wade on my Knicks. I think he's had a very good career.
He's old. Yeah.
He's old. He's a bit washed up. So he's
expensive. He'd want a lot of money. Yep. Classic Nick. Yep.
I think it's a good ending to his career if he were to go there. Obviously, everyone would like to see him retire at Miami, but it'd be a big chapter. It'd be huge news. The city of New York would embrace him. And I think his presence around players like Tim Hardaway, Kevin Knox, that kind of mould, I think he'd be a really, really handy presence. And I'm pretty confident he'd be a pretty good guy behind closed doors as well.
I would actually like to see Nick Swaggy P. Young on your Knicks, because I think
he'd
be a locker room nightmare on that team. I think he would run riot, and I think he'd fit in beautiful, and I think he'd wreck the culture there. I think Swaggy the Knicks would be handy as well.
I'll take him.
Right, what's his last one? Fire away.
Last one. if you were in the NBA, which...
Yep, it's likely. Maybe, a couple of teams, there's a couple of feelers out, have got me mixtape going.
If you were a player, who would you least like to play with?
Yeah, that's an easy one.
I think you're going to have the same answer as me.
Least likely to play with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I think Steven Adams should have very, very gone close to playing in an All-Star game. There haven't been many big men in the Western Conference for these last few years. I think his game hasn't evolved at all. I feel he stands there to box out to let Russ get rebounds. Russ should not be in there getting rebounds on free throws. Big Stevie is almost a human bodyguard for Russ. It certainly didn't hurt Victor Oladipo leaving the team. Sabonis did not hurt leaving the team. It didn't hurt Kevin Durant leaving Russ. I can't think of any player who's got significantly better with him. Andre Roberson's never improved in any of his seasons, and he's been with Russ. Stevie hasn't got any better, and I don't particularly like him. I don't think I'd like to be out there for a 20-second ISO of Russ taking a 3-on-1 30-foot shot. Who's yours? Who would you least like to play with?
I could say Russell Westbrook as well, and one of my best mates is a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan and very defensive of Russ, and I apologise in advance, but I'm with you. I agree in every single facet there. Stevie should be getting 12 rebounds a game at least.
Minimum.
His offensive rebounds numbers are through the roof. He gets more offensive rebounds than he does defensive rebounds. I think he's the first player in history to ever have that stat. Outside of that, I think young Tony Parker, when he's sleeping with everyone's missus, wouldn't be the greatest teammate of all time. But these days, as much as he does make his teammates better, and again, this is maybe a bit of a cop-out, but the pressure of playing with LeBron James, I don't think he's going to be that great of a person to play with. He'd be amazing to learn from. Yeah. But if you make a mistake or if he doesn't like you, you're off that team very quick.
Correct. In that vein also, another one to chuck in there, LeBron's good friend Chris Paul. I don't think I'd enjoy Chris Paul screaming at me if every time I made a mistake, and he doesn't look like he plays the game with a great deal of fun. It looks like it's real business and dead serious all the time, and sometimes you just want to have a laugh. Special mention, good friend of the podcast, Nikola Mirotic, said, "I don't want to play with Bobby Portis because Bobby Portis might just punch you in the face, give you a fractured face, sit you out, and then you get traded." Crazy eyes Bobby Portis, I want nothing to do with.
That's a fair call.
But if he was on my team, he would be my best friend. I would make sure of it.
We don't want any trouble either,
Bobby. No, Bobby, no. We're big fans at the podcast.
No longer in the NBA. But Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, no. No thanks, Kobe.
He made my man Kwame Brown cry.
Yep.
He's destroyed Smush Parker's
life. For 10 years he's decided that Smush cannot no longer actually function in society as an adult.
If you get on well with him, you're good. Him and Pau Gasol, obviously, really good friends. Derek Fisher, some of his mob. But
then Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, seem to get on really well with him.
I think he's almost got that Russ effect a little bit as well, I think. If you're on his team, you've got to do everything for Kobe, just like everyone does on OKC. And the last person, it'd be good to be on his team. It'd be the best story to tell your grandkids, but I don't think I want to play with Michael Jordan very much.
No, Steve Kerr found that out the hard way. I think he copped a 1-2 piece from him on occasion. And another perfectionist. If you're not working hard enough, he's there, and look what I'm doing. You're the greatest athlete on the planet. And
correct.
People can't do what you do. Our man Luke Longley, it's not his fault his hands aren't that good. It's not his fault you've bounced a ball clean between the eyes off Big Luke. He's Australian and he's slow. Yeah, I don't think Michael. While we're doing the longest rapid fire in the history of any podcast, who would you most like to play with? Who's the guy on a day-to-day basis? Doesn't have to be a star. Who's the guy you think, yep, I want him on my team?
I think,
and I've given this no thought, I've just invented that question.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good.
I'll go against the opinion of Jimmy Butler. I'm going to say Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, he plays
I think he's a very, very good player, as we know. His defense needs work. Actually, pause on this, though. I wouldn't really like to play with Jimmy Butler either.
Yeah.
But jumping back to Karl Anthony Towns... he just seems like a good dude. He has his own YouTube channel. He's a good laugh. He's pretty smooth. Great player. You'd like to play with him. And I think if you're a young player and you form a good relationship with the star player, you're safe.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Speaking of YouTube channels, I have one of those, Grazy, GRA33ZY. That's a really good up-and-comer.
Shameless plug there.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Player I'd like to most play with on a daily basis. Oh, who's a guy? I think Joel Embiid's going to be a lot of fun. He's a good player. Well, I imagine he works hard and gets his work in, but I reckon there'd still be some laughs along the way. Social media king. I don't think there'd be a dull moment with Big Joel around.
You'd have stories for years. And
An answer for both camps, for both questions, would be Draymond. I think
you'd love and hate.
You'd love to have him on your team setting screens and, you know, belting the Christ out of anyone that looked at you. But he can also yell at you and get in your ear, and I wouldn't like that. I don't want someone in my face growling at me. We do not like people growling. If anyone listening to this podcast, no growling.
Don't growl at us. And I think I'm going to have one more very, very quick
longest answer. Longest session ever.
Just to try and pop over a few more minutes. Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think he's a really, really good guy. He's poised. He's so much further beyond his years than he actually is. And I think he's the first person to ever like Grayson Allen. I don't think Grayson Allen likes Grayson Allen.
No.
And they went at each other a few times in college, and he ran over and when Grayson was drafted.
That's a good moment. Good moment.
The interviewer tried to talk to Donovan. He said, "No, this is my moment. This is Grayson's moment." Mm-hmm. I think that was quite cool.
Yep.
I think he's a really good player, and he's the stuff he does on Facebook and Twitter. Have you seen him? Buying shoes for people.
Yeah,
and
seems like he's got a good heart. He's a
classy guy, and I've heard a few podcasts of him. He seems like he's raised well, head screwed on. I'd love to play with him.
I've got two more. CJ McCollum. Yep. Seems like a cool dude. Don't go on his podcast because he'll stab you in the back. No, I think everything he does is designed to get a rise out of people.
Yep.
Jennifer, get off his back.
He's trying his best, Jennifer. He's
trying his best. I just think he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't really pick a fault with him. He works hard. He's a good player. He's got his head screwed on right off the court. He knows where he's going after his career's finished. He's going to be a media tycoon.
Confirmed.
And I would love to have Zaza on my team. You know, you're not getting touched if he's on that team. And if anyone is playing well, Zaza can accidentally stomp their foot through the ground, fall on top of them, or accidentally stumble into them.
He can also injure your best player.
He can, but you get the good with the bad. that big noggin, you couldn't just help but love him.
He ruined the San Antonio Spurs, something no one's ever been able to do.
I seen Kevin Durant before the finals rock up in a Lamborghini. I think Draymond and Steph might have been in Bentleys, and then Zaza's rocked up in this big people mover. The Warriors reporters actually all burst out laughing at poor Zaza, and he said, "Shut up." He said, "I've got four kids. Leave me alone."
One thing with Zaza, you told me this the other day. What's a random fact about Zaza?
Zaza has played the most games in the NBA without managing to sink one from the three-point line.
Good on him.
Never has he had the misfortune of just heaving a junk up and bouncing it in. So maybe this is the year. And I actually think Zaza goes over and hits two threes this year. He's on the Pistons. He's going to come out there and not care and just blaze away.
Please don't back that bet.
No. Never take any advice from us, ever. Thanks very much for listening to the debut episode. If you have any feedback or any comments you'd like to pass on, you can hit me up with any of my social media links that are in the description. You'll hear this podcast pretty much everywhere. We'll get this on Apple, we'll get it on Spotify, we'll get it on places that don't even exist. So you'll be able to get every episode everywhere.
We do only appreciate good feedback, so if you've got anything negative to say, I don't want to listen to it, sorry.
Correct, yeah, we're very sooky, very sooky. We will pack up our ball and go home after episode one and what could have been in this great podcast. But we appreciate you listening, and we'll be back with you next time. G'day guys, Grazy here with my very first NBA 2K19 My Team video, and we've picked up Kevin Durant. We went with the Warriors pack and we were rewarded pretty nicely. Also picked up Brett Brown as the coach. That's a pretty good start to the squad. I love my team and we're going to put a lot of time into it. We quite like those Magic throwback jerseys as well. Big Kevin Huerter there, Reggie, Evan Turner, and that Warrior logo. That's not a bad start to the squad. We're looking, we got their big Caleb Swanigan, Troy Daniels, he can hit some threes. Who else we got there? Big Anthony Tolliver can knock down some shots. And Aaron Holiday, the newest of the Holiday brothers. A great story that is. we'll be putting, this will be the mode we put the most time into. Speaking of time, there's big Pau Gasol, Luca, the young man, the 2018-19 Rookie of the Year right there. I was very happy to pick up Luca, and he'll play a lot of games. Oh boy, Bobby Portis. We've got the crazy eyes. A-plus crazy eye rating. He has the highest eyes in all of 2K19. So you got this one here for ordering the LeBron edition of the game or the anniversary edition. So we've got a nice 86 LeBron. You can't really go wrong with that on opening day to get your side going. Obviously, this one was for the standard edition included, so you get the Giannis version as well. I think in Australia, if you get the standard edition, you get a Ben Simmons card, which comes out on Tuesday the 11th. So this was our first pack. I love a pack opening, guys. Every pack I open will be recorded, and you guys will get to see it. And Chandler Hutchinson, that's who I was hoping to get too. I really wanted to build the squad around Chandler. I'll be honest, I know nothing about Chandler. The 94-95 Knicks, that was the last time they were actually pretty good in the NBA Finals that year. You got all your collections here as normal. There's a million and one things to collect, all your players and jerseys and all your coaches and stadiums and tons of stuff, which I like. I love that the collector levels are back. I love looking at these. 2017, I spent a lot of time working towards that Sprewell card and a few of the others. And there's some nice additions to your team. Obviously, you're going to put a lot of time and a lot of effort into them to get these cards. Get Daniel Gibson there at 100 cards. He's the first one you get. An 89 Greg Oden. That's cool. I'd like to pair him with Kevin. Kirilenko at a 95. My man, Chris Webber, 97. A 98 JR. And if you can collect 4.7 million cards, you get that Giannis. I will never get that Giannis, because I simply won't have the money to buy that many packs. You can get a lot of packs just by sniping and working on your MT there and buying low, selling high, but that is a big ask. So this is our first squad. The only real change we make, we swap Luka and Reggie Jackson around, and Crazy Eyes. We just literally had to put him in the team because, yeah, we can't have Nikola Mirotic on the team. Bobby has requested that he does not take part in my team this year, and we will honour Bobby's requests because he is quite literally mad at them eyes. So obviously you start out as normal just with your five challenges for the weeklies, and this was our first basket made. Big Pow, the veteran. Nice up and under. Got him. And one. Big Pow's happy with that. And this was our first three we knocked down. Obviously, you don't get a lot of MT in these early challenges. They're just designed to get you the feel of it and setting your lineups and how you have to use contracts and everything like that. But I thought the game played really well. We went through a couple of these challenges. You get a pack for doing your first challenge, which is pretty cool. Who did we get here? Oh, see, I could do this for hours. A shoe. A card. It's a green, an emerald, Tyreek Evans. I love the early days of my team each year when you get an emerald and you're still pretty happy with it. Later on, you'll get a ruby and you'll be gutted. But the early days, that's a pretty good card to have, that Tyreek. And have a look at Luca here. I think his character model looks really good, the rookie. And he got his tattoos. That looks a lot like him. I was very happy with that player likeness. He plays pretty well too. I've enjoyed using Luca so far. Moves the ball pretty well, moves pretty well. So he's a handy card early days. And you'll be looking forward to seeing him play for real in a couple of weeks. The boys were excited there. That was the end of the third quarter. I don't know why Kevin was so fired up. He's just saying, "Here, Joe, can you take over my social media? You're a little bit better at it than I am." And Reggie looks quite crazy there as well. We just belted through a few of these early challenges. As you can see, the name Crazy About NBA. Doesn't that roll off the tongue nicely? Crazy About NBA. But that's what we're going to be running with. This is the mode we're going to put a lot of time in. Nice little pass there from Luca to Kevin. Kevin's pretty happy with himself there. And we just hit a nice quick three here. I think this year's version's playing really well. I've enjoyed the My Team, and I love the presentation. Cutscenes like this just add something to the game. I've always liked these little moments. Just adds to the presentation. The whole presentation of 2K19 this year looks superb. I was a bit worried that I might need a PS4 Pro. This is just running on a standard PS4, and I think it looks pretty impressive. And like that dunk there was pretty impressive from Kevin. He's just thrown one down and demolished that ball straight into Anthony's face.
That's one of the nicer dunks I've pulled off. I find the game plays really nicely. I think it's controlling really, really good. And I think it looks very, very good. As I said, this is just running on a standard PS4. And I think it's held up really nicely. This mode here is pretty cool. It'll be a triple threat. So you can jump in there with three players. Pick any three players you want. And you just take on a challenge. You can do an offline version of it. Where you just go up against... I think it starts with all the Eastern Conference teams. So basically, you'll see a little drop-down box in a minute. We went with Luka, Giannis, and Kevin Durant. So you have this like little kind of like a pachinko-type machine. You just drop a ball down, and it'll bounce off of there and land down the bottom, and that's the team that you play. I think it also works the same for the reward system. Like, it can drop down, and maybe you get some MT, maybe you get some VC, maybe you get a pack or a player, maybe you get nothing. There's a bit of a luck, bit of a reward system to it. And our first team that we played against was the Celtics. Obviously, these challenges will get harder and harder. There is actually an online version of this as well, which you have to do to unlock the auction house, which annoyed me a little bit. To get the auction house, you have to win a game of this online, and you have to win one of the 5-on-5, I think it's the ultimate mode, or you have to jump in there and do that. And you have to win a game of domination with 3 stars, complete your weekly challenges. So you need to do all that before you can unlock the auction house. And I spend a lot of time in that auction house. Me and my 700 MT, we love looking at those 900,000 MT players, wondering which one would be in our squad. There's Kevin. He got us home in a pretty scrappy match there. I found the 3-on-3 stuff. I found it controls slightly different. I felt like the animations were a little bit different in this mode. And when I played it online, mine was quite laggy and was a little bit difficult to get my shots off. But so far, so good. I'm loving this year's version. What about you guys? How are you going with my team? G'day guys, Grazy here with my very first NBA 2K19 My Team video, and we've picked up Kevin Durant. We went with the Warriors pack, and we were rewarded pretty nicely. Also picked up Brett Brown as the coach, so that's a pretty good start to the squad. I love my team, and we're going to put a lot of time into it. We quite like those Magic throwback jerseys as well. Big Kevin Huerter there, Reggie, Evan Turner, and that Warrior logo. That's not a bad start to the squad. We're looking, we got their big Caleb Swanigan, Troy Daniels, he can hit some threes. Who else we got? Their big Anthony Tolliver can knock down some shots. And Aaron Holiday, the newest of the Holiday brothers. A great story that is. We'll be putting, this will be the mode we put the most time into. Speaking of time, there's big Pau Gasol, Luka, the young man, the 2018-19 Rookie of the Year right there. I was very happy to pick up Luka, and he'll play a lot of games. Oh boy, Bobby Portis. We've got the crazy eyes. A+ crazy eye rating. He has the highest eyes in all of 2K19. So you got this one here for ordering the LeBron edition of the game, or the anniversary edition. So we've got a nice 86 LeBron. You can't really go wrong with that on opening day to get your side going. Obviously, this one was for the standard edition included, so you get the Giannis version as well. I think in Australia, if you get the standard edition, you get a Ben Simmons card, which comes out on Tuesday the 11th. So this was our first pack. I love a pack opening, guys. Every pack I open will be recorded, and you guys will get to see it. And Chandler Hutchinson, that's who I was hoping to get too. I really wanted to build the squad around Chandler. I'll be honest, I know nothing about Chandler. The 94-95 Knicks, that was the last time they were actually pretty good in the NBA Finals that year. You got all your collections here as normal. There's a million and one things to collect, all your players and jerseys and all your coaches and stadiums and tons of stuff, which I like. I love that the collector levels are back. I love looking at these. 2017, I spent a lot of time working towards that Sprewell card and a few of the others. And there's some nice additions to your team. Obviously, you're going to put a lot of time and a lot of effort into them to get these cards. Get Daniel Gibson there at 100 cards. He's the first one you get. An 89 Greg Oden. That's cool. I'd like to pair him with Kevin. Kirilenko at a 95. My man, Chris Webber, 97. A 98 JR. And if you can collect 4.7 million cards, you get that Giannis. I will never get that Giannis, because I simply won't have the money to buy that many packs. You can get a lot of packs just by sniping and working on your MT there and buying low, selling high, but that is a big ask. So this is our first squad. The only real change we make, we swap Luka and Reggie Jackson around, and Crazy Eyes. We just literally had to put him in the team because, yeah, we can't have Nikola Mirotic on the team. Bobby has requested that he does not take part in my team this year, and we will honour Bobby's requests because he is quite literally mad, and them eyes. So obviously you start out as normal, just with your five challenges for the weeklies, and this was our first basket made. Big Pow, the veteran, nice up and under, got him, and won. Big Pow's happy with that. And this was our first three we knocked down. Obviously, you don't get a lot of MT in these early challenges. They're just designed to get you the feel of it and setting your lineups and how you have to use contracts and everything like that. But I thought the game played really well. We went through a couple of these challenges. You get a pack for doing your first challenge, which is pretty cool. Who did we get here? Oh, see, I could do this for hours. A shoe, a card, it's a green, an emerald, Tyreek Evans. I love the early days of my team each year when you get an emerald and you're still pretty happy with it. Later on, you'll get a ruby and you'll be gutted. But the early days, that's a pretty good card to have, that Tyreek. And have a look at Luka here. I think his character model looks really good, the rookie. And he got his tattoos. That looks a lot like him. I was very happy with that player likeness. He plays pretty well too. I've enjoyed using Luka so far. Moves the ball pretty well. Moves pretty well. So he's a handy card early days. And you'll be looking forward to seeing him play for real in a couple of weeks. The boys were excited there. That was the end of the third quarter. I don't know why Kevin was so fired up. He's just saying here, Joe, can you take over my social media? You're a little bit better at it than I am. And Reggie looks quite crazy there as well. We just belted through a few of these early challenges. As you can see, the name Crazy About NBA. Doesn't that roll off the tongue nicely? Crazy About NBA. But that's what we're going to be running with. This is the mode we're going to put a lot of time in. Nice little pass there from Luka to Kevin. Kevin's pretty happy with himself there. And we just hit a nice quick three here. I think this year's version's playing really well. I've enjoyed the My Team, and I love the presentation. Cutscenes like this just add something to the game. I've always liked these little moments. Just adds to the presentation. The whole presentation of 2K19 this year looks superb. I was a bit worried that I might need a PS4 Pro. This is just running on a standard PS4, and I think it looks pretty impressive. And like that dunk there was pretty impressive from Kevin. He's just thrown one down and demolished that ball straight into Anthony's face. That's one of the nicer dunks I've pulled off. I find the game plays really nicely. I think it's controlling really, really good. And I think it looks very, very good. As I said, this is just running on a standard PS4. And I think it's held up really nicely. This mode here is pretty cool. It'll be a triple threat. So you can jump in there with three players. Pick any three players you want. And you just take on a challenge. You can do an offline version of it. We just go up against, I think it starts with all the Eastern Conference teams. So basically, you'll see a little drop-down box in a minute. We went with Luka, Giannis, and Kevin Durant. So you have this like little, kind of like a pachinko-type machine. You just drop a ball down, and it'll bounce off of there and land down the bottom, and that's the team that you play. I think it also works the same for the reward system. Like, it can drop down, and maybe you get some MT, maybe you get some VC, maybe you get a pack or a player, maybe you get nothing. There's a bit of a luck, bit of a reward system to it. And our first team that we played against was the Celtics. Obviously, these challenges will get harder and harder. There is actually an online version of this as well, which you have to do to unlock the auction house, which annoyed me a little bit. To get the auction house, you have to win a game of this online, and you have to win one of the 5-on-5, I think it's the ultimate mode, or you have to jump in there and do that, and you have to win a game of domination with 3 stars, complete your weekly challenges. So you need to do all that before you can unlock the auction house. And I spend a lot of time in that auction house. Me and my 700 MT, we love looking at those 900,000 MT players, wondering which one would be in our squad. There's Kevin. He got us home in a pretty scrappy match there. I found the 3-on-3 stuff. I found it controls slightly different. I felt like the animations were a little bit different in this mode. And when I played it online, mine was quite laggy and was a little bit difficult to get my shots off. But so far, so good. I'm loving this year's version. What about you guys? How are you going with my team? Thanks very much for watching, guys. If you have any feedback, feel free to pop it in the comments. If you enjoyed the video, feel free to tap that thumbs up button, maybe even hit subscribe. There will definitely be more of these videos coming, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Feel free to let me know the players you've pulled, the team you're building, the challenges you're working on. Would love to hear from you. Thank you very much for watching.